Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Kia ora and welcome to season 5 of the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Rugby season is upon us again, and it'd be fair to say we're relatively excited. This week you're going to be talking to captains from the Chiefs and the Crusaders and the Reds and the Waratahs and the Hurricanes. We've got plenty to talk about, and of course the blokes in studio with me, the geeks who love rugby on the inside, who do what we do, letting you know how it works from people on the inside of rugby. First person to talk to, James Parsons, former Blues centurion and All Black, chipper. No pants on. Nah. Looking good after the summer.
Nah, look, just thought I'd set the tone for a little summer lead-in. It's hot outside, but pretty excited to see the season starting.
Yeah, the tan is good though. You've got to show that off. You've been working on that.
Oh yeah, it's a bit of time on the golf course over the summer holiday, so got the pins out.
Speaking of solid tan, Bryn Hall in the screen, always looking very brown no matter what. Does Bryn sunbed? Is that what he does?
Potentially, he'd be a high prospect.
Bryn, welcome again.
Look, I didn't think I was going to make it, boys. I honestly didn't think I was going to make it, considering we had a 7-day camp in our off season.
So you had a camp in the middle of season just to make sure you were fit enough.
Yeah, it was. We're the only team in Japan. I think there's 30 odd teams here. We're the only team to go through a pre-season during season. So it was lovely to reconnect with the boys, our company boys, being able to get away for 7 days, but. No, we had a wrestling camp. John Donoghue, who's a well-known man here in Iwata, he put us through his paces. We did a lot of contact loads. So, mouth guard was on, dripper, and a few high impacts during the 7 days. The boys love working over here, so you definitely earn your yen money over here, dripper. But we're sitting fifth, but Toshiba looking pretty nice with Richie Mwanga running the cutter. He's definitely chucking him on his back, and hopefully you guys are getting some coverage of seeing Richie and some great world-class players over here in Japan.
We have to jump into that mouthguard chat as well later on. We're going to look at the rules today that are coming up into Super Rugby. Of course, Super Rugby has its own rules, which are not always the same as World Rugby's rules. And the mouthguard is one of the things that we'll be looking at. The impact mouthguard is in play, and Jipper knows a little bit about that. So we'll be visiting that very, very soon. We'll talk a bit about ruck speed and TMOs and all of those kind of things. But probably first and foremost, Super Rugby starts this weekend, and it starts with an absolute belter of a game. The Chiefs versus the Crusaders, the repeat of last year's final. A very exciting match, considering the Chiefs will be feeling absolutely gutted still about how that just got away from them. And the Crusaders, of course, have got, without Richie Mwanga, some things to do to prove that they're still the top dog. Jipper, this is the fight for the number one, do you think, if you look towards the end of the season?
No, I wouldn't rush to that. I definitely think the consistency of the squad for the Chiefs is a big aspect for them to be picked to probably be in the final again, maybe coming first. But as you say, there's quite a lot of change down in Canterbury at the Crusaders, so opportunity aplenty. I'm really excited to see Rivers Rehana. It looks like, just based on preseason form, he's going to get that 10 jersey. But a lot will fall on the shoulders of players like a Will Jordan, your Sevi Reese, your Ryan Crotties to make sure that they allow, I suppose, Rivers to be able to perform as we've seen him for Northland in the NPC.
Bryn, obviously you know plenty about how the Crusaders work. When you look at a guy like Rivers Rehana coming in to be the pivot, when they've lost so many people to injury and lost, of course, Richie Mwanga to Japan, how do the Crusaders go about making sure that he's up to the task from day one?
When I first went down to the Crusaders, Richie wasn't the incumbent around Test match footy and was kind of going through the teething process of being able to be a number 10 at Super Rugby level. But I think what Rivers has done, and also Taha Kimura, he's a young guy that was in that environment last year who could be in and around that starting 10 role. I think the forward pick is going to play a massive part for that Crusaders team this year. I remember when we first got there, we had a world-class a lot of All Blacks in the environment, guys that have played a lot of rugby at Super Rugby level and Test match level. I think it's going to do a U-turn in and around that forward pack is going to be the dominance around that side. And so the set piece, a lot of guys that have been there for a long time, I think they're going to be the kind of instrument of them moving forward for this year. But, you know, I think with Ryan Crotty coming back, that's a great signing, I believe. And also Levar Moore, who obviously wants to be able to play in internationally, we've been having an opportunity with Jack Goodhue going. I believe there's still enough there for that Crusaders team to be there or thereabouts, but obviously losing a guy like Richie Mwanga and Sam Whitelock, and considering the draw that they do have, I think they've got two home games in the first 10 rounds. So they're going to go through a bit of a gauntlet in terms of having a win away from home. So I'm not too sure where they're going to finish on the table. I think the Chiefs and the Blues, they're pretty dominant, I think, with their squads that they've had, and more so the Chiefs, the kind of turnover that they've had and the experience of that group. So it'll be interesting to see how they go this week, considering there's a few injuries with the Crusaders at the moment.
Bryn, just to be clear, did you suggest that the Crusaders aren't in your top two favourites for the title this year?
I have. Well, just considering with the injuries that they do have, like, I'm not too sure what's happening with some of their players, and knowing that there's their All Blacks coming back, they come later in the first part of that season, and their draw that they do have, I think I've got them coming in third in that draw, coming into the final. So again, we'll back them at the back end of the year. They always show their strength at the back end of the year when they get that continuity and all the players will be able to have good minutes. But I think with the Chiefs and the Blues in their squad that they do have, I think they're warranted around on paper to be, you know, the top two teams at this stage.
Chipper, unlike, I'm presuming that the Blues are in your top two.
Of course.
And that's where you see this going. Do you also see the Crusaders possibly sitting third or fourth, where the Brumbies are
I think the hard thing is, at this time of the year, like, pre-season form's one thing. Like, trust me, I've won many a pre-season cup. And then, you know, come to the real deal, you don't deliver. But you would have to think the Chiefs and the Blues are, you know, what everyone expects to be one and two. And I've been really impressed with the Blues. Like, you didn't know what to expect with a new coaching group and a bit of change, but Stephen Petafetta's really grabbed that team, and he looks red hot. So, yeah, they're there. But the Crusaders, I mean, we always have this conversation about the Crusaders. If there's, you know, I suppose when Mertens and Marshall left, then it was Carter, and Carter left, it was Mwanga. So they're always going to fill it. You know, Fergus Burke is injured, so I think he would have been the one that... So he's probably added the confusion for them around 10. Had he been there, it would be a little bit more settled. But I do think Rivers Rehana is a quality player, and given the opportunity and being backed, and, you know, we've just spoken about the players around them, you know, he should be able to show up. But, like, there's going to be some opportunity at lock with Whitelock gone. You know, you've got Jamie Hanna, you've got Taylor Cahill, you've got George Bell filling in the two jersey while Cody Taylor's away. So there is a bit of youth and enthusiasm sprinkled around the Crusaders, which is probably not what we're used to. They've got that experience, but they still have guys, like we've mentioned, even Owen Franks is back there. That experience in and around training prepares these guys to be able to deliver. So I don't think it's a dead set. They're not going to be in the top two. But going on current preseason form, I've got them at three.
Now, we did get a chance to catch up with both Chiefs captain Luke Jacobson and Scott Barrett, the Crusaders captain, earlier in the week at the Super Rugby launch. We'll be using a few of these interviews that we've done with a bunch of the captains throughout the next few weeks.
And it was quite hard to get much out of them, but we pried a little bit of juice out of there. They didn't want to give too much away, though, did they?
Guys, welcome. Let's start the chat with a bit of run a straight challenge. We've heard some good answers already from a few different people. One person you'd least like to run it straight at, Scott?
Oh, LJ, he's got some solid shoulders on him.
Yeah.
Concrete shoulders.
See a big people in there. Probably go maybe like a prof or something, maybe Ethan the Groot, one of those bigger boys, bit of more mass put them behind them, eh?
You peel out around the side and he's waiting there for you.
Yeah. But yeah, you got to be going a bit faster to try and dent them sort of thing. Probably dent you a bit more than you dent him.
Yeah. Well, Jibber, yours? Who's...
Oh, it would be Offa for me. Yeah, he snapped me that many times at training, so I've just got demons in my head from him.
Okay, well, let's get into round one. Luke, obviously we had the final last year between your two teams. It was a cracker. The end of the game was nail-biting for, I think, everybody. When you saw this was first up, what was your reaction?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, eh? Obviously, still a lot of bad blood in the mouth about last year. It was a tough loss to take, as I imagine any final losses. But exciting to see that we get to have a little bit of a rematch round one. Obviously, it's not the one that matters the most, but it'll be exciting to get out and also put to practice what we've been training during the pre-season. We like to think that we've taken steps forward and to try it out against the best team last year. That'd be bloody good, yeah.
Scott, if you look at, I suppose, the shoes to be filled, Rob Penny, good Canterbury man, very successful at NPC level. Him coming back into the fold, how have you felt his sort of engagement with the squad?
Yeah, been impressed with Rob so far. I've only had a few interactions with him, I guess with the group, been up in the UK last couple of weeks, and naturally with the bit of a delayed start from the All Blacks guys. So initially, and in talking with the boys, he's had a good impact, and I guess it's refreshing as well, putting his own twist on things, and excited to see how he gets the group going this year.
Luke, obviously Amone Nawara came out, had that sort of stellar year, rookie year. Do you see anyone else of the younger players making a statement? I suppose Brad's moved on. There's a couple of young halfbacks there that'll be fighting it out.
Yeah, we've got some real good competition between the halfbacks, Xavier and Cortez, and you've got Triple T, who's a bit more experienced there as well. I think it'll be interesting to see who gets the nod first round. There's been a few Lucys as well, young Lucys that have been really having a crack for, I guess Sam's not there this year, so there's a extra Lucy spot there. Malachi Rampling, Simon Parker, and Wallace Atiti have all been going pretty hard at each other. So,
Hold up, mate. Do we know to go that hard, or do you go, no, give it to me now at training?
No, I think it's, I think boys, you earn boys' respect by coming in and going hard and showing what you're about. It's when young boys come in and be passive and, oh, should I do that? Should I do this? It's probably a little bit more concerning, but when the boys just go get stuck in and look for help, ask questions, I think that's pleasing to see.
Got one question left for you then. Crusaders player, young guy that everyone should watch out for this year who could make a real big impact.
For Jamie Hanna.
Yeah, why is that?
I guess he's impressed me, I guess, last year coming in and training a young guy. He's pretty talented. He's got some skills and, starting to learn how to use his body. So, I think he'll have an impact this season.
What key skills should people look out for from him, do you think?
I don't know if he did a nice offload up in the UK to sort of set up a try. So, He's got good aerial skills and we offload, so that's something to look out for.
Nice. You, Luke, from the Chiefs?
Yeah, I guess probably go back to the halfbacks. I guess Portier's probably made a little bit of a name for himself last year. I think Xavier will make a bit of a name for himself this year. As I said, it'll be good competition between the two, but not sure who's going to get the nod. But I think Xavier will impose himself on the competition pretty well, whether he's starting or off the bench here.
So that's who Luke and Scott think are their players look out for within their squads. Bryn, I'm really interested to hear, if you're looking across this competition, who are the three players you're really looking out for to make an impact this year?
Oh, I think for me, selfishly, being a halfback and with Aaron Smith going, there's a lot of good nines floating around to be able to try and make that next jump, to be able to get into that number nine for the All Blacks or in that kind of pecking order. I think, look, Falau Fakatava, I think with Aaron Smith going, it's due a big season. I think having that responsibility of being able to, run the team by himself with obviously the number 10 and that group, I think it's going to be a really important year for him. By all accounts, when I look at the preseason, he's had some really good touches and been able to build minutes coming to the early part of the year. So he's definitely a guy that I'm really excited to watch. I think Cortez Ratima with the Chiefs as well, with Brad Weber leaving, he's going to be in a very similar situation with Xavier Rowe, Te Toiro, Tahuru Orangi is there, but he's in a very similar position where he's been talked around with the All Blacks as well. But I think also, Jacob Nipkins Ratamatavuki with the Highlanders, he's definitely one guy that I'm looking forward to watching. I think given the opportunity, wasn't able to do that with the Blues because there's obviously so much players and been able to play with the winger and fullback role with that group. It's going to be great to be able to see him playing that fullback role. And lastly, Jimmy the Jet, Tava Tava Nabwai. I think his move from Wanda Pacifica to the Highlanders is just going to add to that back three and having that punch to be able to beat people one-on-one or being able to go over them that he's shown with Tasman and Wanda Pacifica. So, you know, those are a couple of guys that I'm looking forward to watching this year.
Yeah, I've made note of similar ones, so I won't go down the nines. I mean, you missed my boy Cam Royga, but it'll let you off. But
he's already in there, mate.
I think if the teams who are going to win, Stephen Perefita for me, like, it's his team. There's no confusion over that. He's really demanded that authority and direction for the Blues in that preseason. Just how clinical they've been in the 22. Like, we talk about the Crusaders all the time. They get into the 22, they come away with points. Like, the execution and delivery when they've been in the 22 for the Blues in preseason, I know it's preseason and played Japanese sides in their break, but you still got to do it. And they've got a way of doing it with rolling the sleeves up. The forwards look like they just get in there to go to work, but then they've got the skill set to free up guys like Caleb Clark and co out wide. So, and I think Stephen's a big part of that, that confidence and the way he's driving. So I'm really excited to watch him hopefully step up and play more international rugby in that 10 jersey. I've got Damien McKenzie. I think you know where I'm going here. These are the key players that if you're going to win titles, so him owning 10 and really showing us what he's made of so that he gets that All Black 10 jersey will be a big part in the Chiefs going all the way.
So do you think that Stephen Perefita has a chance, just to go back to your previous point, of maybe being the All Blacks 10 ahead of Damien McKenzie? Do you think that that's a serious prospect?
Well, from what I've seen pre-season, he looks pretty focused. He's delivered for a number of years at NPC level. He has played 15 a lot when Bodie's been at the Blues. He's had the odd. This is it. Like, if he can take the Blues all the way, one, I'll be super stoked. But I think that will be a command. Like, Damien's got the inside running. There's no doubt about that. But if he can keep this form, there's no reason why he can't play good minutes at All Black level.
The next question for you guys is the dark horse. Who are you thinking?
Highlanders. Yeah, I've just been so... You can almost feel the energy and, I suppose, the mana. And I don't want to put it all on Jamie Joseph's shoulders, but there is an edge about the way they've played pre-season. Brutal in the collision areas. I think they've got some players, you know, I want to highlight Taniolu Talia, who's from Auckland. He's been at the Blues but just had injury after injury. I think we've seen pre-season what he can do in that 12 jersey, and he gives a real strong platform for them to play off. And there's a lot of young guys around him, so he is quite an experienced player in terms of years in Super Rugby squads. He hasn't got as many games as he'd like, but I think he's a great get for them. And I just think their pack, it reminds me of 2015, you know, like everyone sort of just didn't expect them to do anything and they almost had that chip on the shoulder. It's very reminiscent of the run they went on. I don't think they're going to top, you know, the table, but I think they'll be third, fourth, maybe fifth, and have that ability to, you know, do what they did and do the quarter, semi and the final and take it all the way, away from home probably.
Yeah, when you look at them on paper, you know, you wouldn't say that they're really a championship contender, but you probably didn't say that in 2015 either.
No. Where it's different, Aaron Smith, Lima Sopawanga. You know, that is probably the only area, but I think, you know, Bryn's mentioned it, Falau Fakatava's got a point to prove. You know, Cam Roygood sort of come onto the scene and is the new big thing. Finlay Christie's still there. Cortez Ratama, so he's got everything to prove, and by the looks he's going to have a very, very hungry and enthusiastic forward pack that will give him that platform.
Bryn, your dark horse.
Mine are actually the Hurricanes. I just think, look, considering the depth that I believe that they have in that back line, you've obviously got TJ Pettinata coming back into that group, you've got Cam Roygaard who, you know, is pushing for higher on and else to be that starting nine, and you look at the kind of midfield of, you know, Sullivan, Proctor, you've got Rayasi, you've got Love, Baylen Sullivan, you've just got so much depth in and around that back line. And I think they've got enough in that forward pack, considering their tight five with the likes of Lomax, Mafaleo, Amua, Namir, Stones. Those guys have played a lot of footy at Super Rugby level. And so I think, you know, the one area possibly you might have to think would be the locking stocks. But, you know, with Walker Leawedi, he's another guy that I think has been there for a long time, and it's probably time for him to be able to stand up and be that number one lock within the leadership role and being able to move forward for that group. You've also got Tucker, who comes in, who Jip raves about and what he can bring to that group. And obviously Delaney, who's a young man coming through that system. So I think collectively they've got a lot of depth in and around their backs, and they've got enough in their tight five. And I think their biggest strength is their loose forward trio. Man, the depth that they have at that loose forward trio, and that's to say with Artie Sevier going, you know, you've still got a really good loose forward trio of Flanders, Brandon Yuase, who else is in there? You've got Shields. Peter Lakai, who's had a great form. Yeah, Shields comes back and captains the side. So if you're talking around depth and especially the attrition rate of what's probably required in the loose forward trio that we've talked about at rugby, I think the Hurricanes, you know, have plenty of options at that loose forward trio.
And based on preseason, Duplessis Karufi's just continuing his form that he's had for a number of years as well. So, you know, we sort of touched on it with Brad, which will, you know, probably off camera more so, but he said, you know, like there's no guarantees. Even though he's, you know, in that captain's role, he's still got to go out there and earn it. So I think they're a squad that can go all the way. And I suppose that's probably why I haven't seen them as a dark horse. But just as you were naming off all those players, I think Brett Cameron's crucial. He's played for the All Blacks. You know, there is opportunity for him to get further test caps because before he got injured, he was really running the ship tightly with the Hurricanes last season.
Is he a championship team?
Yeah.
He is?
I think he is. And purely because he's a selfless 10 and he utilises the X factor he has around him. But he's also firm enough, he has control on what's happening and when they want to be tactical for that territory or when they want to have a lick. But it's not only his ability to orchestrate, it's the way he runs when he doesn't have the ball and that he can sort of create defenders in that mismatch. And when you've got, you know, such powerful athletes outside him, it becomes very hard to stop. And then once people turn to trying to stop them, then it creates opportunities for him. And his passing game is second to none. So I definitely think he's got the ability to go all the way.
And just on that as well, I think, you know, I look at probably early in Richie's career, you're looking at a 10, right, who obviously, you know, wasn't perceived as world-class or where he was right now. Having a guy outside him is going to be really important. Having a guy like Jordy Barrett, who's the incumbent 12 and has a skill set in and around what's required as a 12 in world rugby, he's going to be massive for Brett Cameron. So with all the people that I talked about, with the depth that they have with their backs, a guy like Jordy Barrett is going to be massive for Brett Cameron's development throughout this tournament for sure.
Now, we spoke before about how we've spoken to Brad Shields at the Super Rugby launch. Brad's been through an interesting time over the last few years. He's gone to England. He's been a test player, suddenly not a test player. Injury kept him out of a World Cup and he was never seen again for England. We spoke to him about Eddie Jones. We spoke to him about Wasps going under. We spoke to him about to return to New Zealand. And the chances of maybe being an All Black after 3 years out and being very much eligible.
What was it like walking back into the changing room? I suppose there weren't that many faces who were the same after your years away.
No, well, I mean, there's a few nappies floating around now. there's a young sort of demographic in the squad, but at the same time, there's a lot of guys who sort of were coming into the fold as I was leaving. So, you know, Duplessis, Braden, Devon, you got Billy, you got Peter Magenson, Geordie, and so forth. So, like, there's a group of guys now who are the core group of the Hurricanes that are still there and moving into those leadership roles. So very encouraging, and it's also very fresh, so it's nice.
And I suppose with a new All Black coaching group coming in, those young men are like, they're at the position where they want to make that step up, and they've probably had enough runs on the board to actually start claiming those spots.
100%, and I think it just adds a little bit of extra motivation, you know, and obviously getting some consistent game time helps with that. So guys will be looking for that, looking for consistency. They'll be looking to put as many minutes on the pitch as possible. And I think it's only going to help the team as well. Like, you look at the depth, the competition at training, where we can't ask for much more and everyone's fine for a position and everyone stays healthy, it's only going to help our performance.
I suppose it's nice having the captaincy armband then, because you know at least you're going to get a couple of starts.
Well, I've had that conversation with Clark. He's pretty firm with having to earn my spot, and I think that's sort of the way you want to be. Like, there's no freebies in rugby, and that's exactly how you want it. You want that fight for those positions, and the more I can do to get on the pitch is going to help the team, and hopefully lead by example is always going to put us in a better position. So fingers crossed I can get a few games under the belt.
Have you signed that piece of paper that can make you available for the All Blacks?
Haven't even thought about that. I've got to think about the Hurricanes first.
Yeah. Good answer.
That's a good lie. That's a good lie. But looking back at your time in England, you've seen some interesting things along the way. You're at Wasps and the club folded. You know, you played under Eddie Jones. You've had some experiences over there that are quite different from anything you would have experienced here. Maybe we'll start with Wasps. What did you learn from that experience of being at a club that suddenly doesn't exist?
It's pretty tough to go through something like that. And I think it was You know, I've said a few times of late, you know, it's a pretty difficult situation to be in and be treated like that. It's pretty tough. But at the end of the day, somewhere along the line, it's going to make you a better human being and a better person. You look at life certainly a little bit differently. And for us and my wife and my family, like, taught us a lot about ourselves and our sort of stress levels and anxiety levels. But you got to just enjoy what's in front of you. And it's making me appreciate rugby a little bit more day in and day out, and you never know when it's going to finish. And then, you know, Jipper obviously being recently retired from rugby, it's going to happen someday, and it's just, you know, you probably don't expect it to happen that quickly, but you got to be prepared for it. And so I'm just enjoying it as much as I can at the moment.
Does it make you appreciate the way we do things here, where I when I look up there, I think they treat them all like cattle, whereas here, you know, it's a bit more about the people and the players?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say like cattle. Like there's you know, there's obviously that perception, but we had a really good team culture within, you know, the last couple of years at Wasps, and we got on really well. We had some real success, you know, there towards the end of COVID, making the Premiership final. And I think that there obviously is a difference being owner-driven, or one owner-driven, and once the owner sort of doesn't want to put any more money into a team, you know, where do you go to from there? So, yeah, I guess in a way there's some regulation within New Zealand, and obviously New Zealand rugby are at the forefront of that. So I guess that's security in a sense. But I mean, no matter what team you're in, you think you've got security when you sign a contract. So it's quite a difficult one to swallow. But look, I think rugby on a whole up in the UK, they've had to sort of have it a bit of a reform and look at the way they do things so it doesn't happen again. And unfortunately, you know, we're one of three at the moment. And obviously with Australia as well, it's a touchy subject. So rugby's got a few curveballs to come, I think.
Not to keep going at the hard questions there, Brad. But Eddie Jones, your experience with him in England, you know, he's copped a bit of flack, but, you know, he must be pretty handy because his record's, you know, pretty strong.
Yeah, I loved it being in that environment and being coached by him and Steve Borthwick as well. And I think, for me, their standard is right up there. And they expect a lot from their players, and they drove a lot of connection within the group when I was there. And I think it just got the best out of me. And, yeah, Eddie's a colourful character, and I think a lot of the stuff that he does is probably he sort of does it to take a little bit of heat off the team, you know. So and all they can do is focus on their performance. So look, some real interesting times over the last sort of couple of years, but at the same time, I really enjoyed it, and I reckon it was, you know, some of the best rugby that I've ever played. And yeah, grateful to be in that environment and be coached by a couple of the best coaches in the world at the moment.
Are the players laughing when they see the quotes from Eddie, you know, because they know what he's about?
Yes, I mean, we don't really see it a lot of the time, you know. Like, you think, I guess it's a little bit comical because, you know, you kind of get one side to Eddie, and then when you're back in front of the team, it's a little bit different because it's probably a little bit more intimate, and you probably see a little bit more than what the media sees and what the general public sees. So,
you've got a new coach, Clark Laidlaw. You're obviously a new captain. You come in together at the same time. How do you form that relationship, and how do you build what you want out of the leadership team together?
I think Clarkey has been instrumental so far in jumping in with the Hurricanes, and obviously had history with the team as well, so sort of semi-success. We made the final in 2015, and I think that sort of adds a little bit of motivation and a little bit of passion behind the Hurricanes brand. And
hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Busy, and one of the biggest things he wanted to sort of drive was that connection within the group, connection with the leaders, and then connection with the rest of the team. And the more we can understand each other, the more we can understand about, you know, where the Hurricanes are from, our regions, where everyone comes from. I think it's just be better for the performance. And, you know, obviously rugby is rugby, and you've got to play good rugby, but the more we can do around the group in terms of belonging and making sure everyone's putting their best foot forward, training hard, working hard, and appreciating being in the environment. And Clarkey's doing that really well, and he's got some really good ideas of how he want to play. And yeah, hopefully we'd be really successful this season, and we're hoping to go a couple more than quarterfinal against the Brumbies.
What does that look like week to week, the team bonding and those kind of things? Is it organised, scheduled into the day, or is it more organic?
There's a couple of organised things. Like it's a hard one in rugby because what you don't want is forced fun, and I think it's got to be genuine fun, and we're really conscious of that. But at the same time, sometimes that needs to be facilitated so you can end up having certain conversations, like pretty small things, but for Monday we always have lunch together, or during the season we'll be having lunch together. So small things like that where you can go and chat and sit next to other guys. You know, went up to the Hawke's Bay, to Balen's Marae, up where the cyclone hit, and just being able to see guys like you're having a different passion and a different purpose, it brings you a little bit closer, and those things are pretty genuine. And I know a lot of teams are trying to do that at the moment, but you know, that could be the difference in winning a Super Rugby title, you know.
A few of the coaches that you're with are pretty much the same age as you. You played with Corey, you got Tyler Blandahl, you got Brett Evans, you know what I mean? Like, he's a, Corey's a little bit older, but you know, you played with him. What's it like being, I suppose, a senior player and being involved with coaches who were teammates or contemporaries of yours? And is that an easier thing to do in some ways than maybe the old-fashioned thing where a coach was 20, 30 years older than you?
Yeah, it's a funny one because I was playing against Whopper, you know, Tyler, year older, and CJ's, Clark, he's only the known Clark as a coach. I think it's an interesting one because there's always a natural, not I wouldn't say divide, it's probably not the right word, but maybe a separation between coaches and players, and that's just how it has to be because that's sort of the environment, the coaches are coaches at the end of the day. But I think it probably allows you to share ideas a little bit more freely, if that makes sense. Like, there's probably not that big traditional brick wall where you're like, actually, I'm a bit nervous to go to a coach and say something new or come up with a new idea, or when you're talking about standards, you know, you can have those open conversations. And I think guys coming, you know, relatively new out of rugby, they've still got a creative mindset in terms of what rugby is now and how you can sort of bend the rules a little bit or change the way you play. And I guess that's with CJ and Tyler's biggest job, your defense, how can we, you know, do things a little bit differently in attack and D, and how can we excite people and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, having that rugby now, or just coming out of rugby, you're almost still connected to the game in a certain way. You know how the players feel. So hopefully we can sort of use that to our advantage, I suppose.
Before we let you go, we've got some quickfire questions for you. Now, we've asked this question of everybody, but I'll spin it differently for you.
We have to put my age on.
30. It's not just you, mate. It's everybody. It's everybody else. Oh, okay, yeah, you do have the high. You do have the highest number. I'm not going to say anything else. The question was, running it straight. One player in any club around the world that you've played against who you do not want to run it straight at.
Of late, this has only come of late because I played with him over in France. Is Bosola Tuolangi. Oh, yeah. He is one of the biggest humans ever. Maybe him running straight at me, I wouldn't like, but yeah, he's definitely doing some damage for a 20-year-old.
He's a big man, isn't he?
He's a big man, and he's like, he's got a motor on him too, so yeah, of late, he's probably one of the ones.
Worst roomie, and why, throughout your career?
Holy, probably Reggie Goods.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. He's like Snorlax. Loves to sleep. If you wake him up too early or destroy his sleep, he's a pest to be around during the day.
Yeah,
but maybe because I'm close to him, I appreciate that a bit.
He snores.
Yeah, he snores.
He's the biggest prankster as well. Oh, I can't imagine. Can't imagine it would be easy.
Yeah. Oh, you're going
easy
to your,
going.
You're going to your room. You're like,
yeah, what's going on here?
What's coming around the corner?
Your nightmare.
So what's he pulled on you? Fair enough. Okay. Last but not least, Kane's player that people might not know about or should know about, who you think's gonna go ballistic this year.
It's a good question. There's probably a few of those, actually. I think Southport's going to have a really good season, you know. He's obviously had a bit of a tough run with injury, so keep him on the field. And, I mean, you just saw, you know, when he came back into Mitre 10 at the end, how exciting he was and how powerful athlete he was. I think someone like a Peter Larkley is going to be pushing the boys hard for a starting spot this year. You know, another athlete, and we're absolutely spoiled with him. And probably an outside choice, like someone like Josh Morby. Like, you watch him during pre-season and the kid's just got an absolute motor on him. Like, he's running a whole 2 or 3 Ks more than everybody else. Him and Ruben Love, like, I think when you got guys like that who just eat relentless work rate, like, they're on the pitch. You see it during Mitre 10 Cup, when he gets the ball, you're like, so you could, like, bring the game open here, you know? So I'm excited to see a few of those guys play.
You've actually got, if you look at the squads as a whole, the Hurricanes have got quite a I suppose, well experienced. Yes, they're young, but they've got a, like, there's not too many new faces.
Nah, like, there's obviously guys who have been around for, you know, you call group to be around 4 or 5 years, and then you can see the consistency starts picking. I think we're sort of hitting that at the moment. There is some guys who are inexperienced, but majority of guys have had Super Rugby experience, played pretty decent minutes for Mitre 10 Cup, you know, a few All Blacks who you can share some of that experience as well. So it's pretty exciting.
So plenty of players to watch within that Hurricanes camp, but what about those guys that no one's ever seen before coming into this competition this year? Who's your rookie to look out for?
I'm going to go for a young man that's playing for the Drua, Isaiah Armstrong-Ravulla. The reason I'm saying that is because he had some opportunities off the bench for Manawatu, and he's just one of those natural players that has time. Even when there's line speed pressure, he looks completely relaxed. He is prepared to pull the trigger. He has a beautiful flat pass. He's explosive, and he can probably play 10-15. I don't know where they see him. I haven't got any footage of the Drua, but I hopefully that they see him playing a starting role. If not, definitely a bench role. And I think he's the sort of player that will announce himself.
Brendan, how about you?
Macca Springer is one that comes to mind at Super Rugby level. I think, considering with Lester Fainga-Nuku gone in that winger role, with Lee Halfpenny being injured and obviously not sure around what's happening with Will Jordan, I think he's going to have a massive play and probably be in and around the starting and been able to give a massive impact for the Crusaders. I've also gone for the Highlanders, the number 10. Obviously, Reece Patchell has come from Wales, who is going to bring a different skill set for that Highlanders team. But AJ Faliafanga is one number 10 to watch. I think he's very, very similar to a Lima Sipawanga, actually, and Richie Mwanga with his kind of movements that he has as a 10. And I think he's one guy with Cam Miller, who's obviously the other number 10 there. I think he's definitely one guy that if Reece Patchell isn't the guy moving forward, he's definitely a guy with number 10 who's kind of has a big future. So those are the two men that I've chosen to look out for this year's rookies.
And what we haven't spoken about so far is the Aussies and the impact they'll have on this competition. Bryn, when you look over the Tassie, which squad is the squad that you think is going to make a real impact?
The Rebels. Sorry, I've got them coming last. Sorry, Rebels fans. I've got the Waratahs, man. We've said it a lot, me and Jip, the past couple of years. But if you look at their squad and the amount of Wallabies that they have, especially in crucial positions as well, like, you know, they should be there or thereabouts, not, you know, being the fourth or fifth, and being able to really try and, you know, strive for that home semi final. So I've gone the Waratahs, but at the same time, I actually like the Rebels in terms of what they've done in and around their signings. I think Matt Proctor as a centre is going to be massive for that group, what he can bring as a player, and I think that kind of world-class sentimentship, I don't know if that's a word, but get the idea of
now.
What he can do. It is now. And obviously Taniela Tupou, bringing him in, a world-class prop to that environment. But I guess the only bad thing about the Rebels is, and Jip, you know, as a player, if there's a lot of stuff going off the field, there's going to be a lot of heat coming on them throughout the duration of the competition, if they're going to be there or not. And by all accounts, with what's happened over there, probably looks like that they're not going to be there. So, but the Waratahs are probably my team that I think should make a big movement in this competition.
I think the Brumbies are always going to be there. The big thing is, if they want to go all the way, Lolosio has to play really well and start taking control of the side. Yeah, I don't have the Tars in the eight. I'm with you, Bryn. And I suppose I compare it to some of the blue squads I was in. On paper, like, they should be winning more often than not, but sometimes it's just not clicking. And it just, I think, with a guy like Michael Hooper gone, and just their pre-season form, like, they've been, their defence is just leaking.
Mm.
Like, yeah, and they can't score. You know, they can't guarantee themselves to score 40 points a game and win at 40-39. So I think there's a lot of work to be done for the Tars.
And we caught up with Tars captain Jake Gordon, who spoke a little bit about that, the inconsistency, how good they are on paper and how they expect to be quarter finalists, but it isn't that easy.
The last 2 years have been okay. You know, I thought in 2022 we had a really strong year of competitive, especially off the back of 2021, where we didn't compete really that well at all. And last year was really disappointing, where I thought we built quite nicely. You know, we lost that round one game against the Brumbies, which was a big one for us in front of, you know, 27,000-30,000. So that was frustrating. Then it took us about, you know, six games to start playing some decent rugby. And you know, with Super Rugby, it's such a short competition, you don't have much time. So we're excited for the year. We've had two trials. We've learned a lot from those two trials. We played the Reds in the last game, and I guess the beauty is we've had 10 days to prepare now. We're not going to play on the weekends. So we're excited for round one up at Suncorp.
Now, I have to ask you, mate, because you seem to just do it time and time again. Intercepts. Do you do, like, defensive work on teams, or you just feel like they're a little bit sluggish and trying to get that wide ball? Like, it's freakish how many you've got.
It's, I can't give too much away around it, but because the halfbacks get the shits with me at training, and the tens are like, what are you doing? You reckon the whole session, but you need to practice it. And to be fair, our defence coach, Jason Gilmore, is exceptional. He's quite innovative around how he sees the halfbacks defending, and, you know, it's a big play if you can pull it off.
Well, you've started a trend, because halfbacks do have this licence now all around the world to sort of shoot and fly, either make a spot hit or go for the intercept.
I'd love to say I came up with it. I saw a Welsh halfback do it first. Yeah, he was the first to do it. I'm like, this is epic. Like, if you could just take this, I don't like tackling either. Well, I actually don't mind it. But anyway, I'd rather take an intercept and you know, have a go at it. But, yeah, you see, you know, defence changes, you know, and there's an opportunity often off an edge to have a look at it.
You saw that and you took the tape straight to the coach, did you?
Of course I did. Made my own highlights reel too, mate.
Put me in, coach. I can do this.
And that's where it's a wooden skip at.
Because then you're like, well, actually, the leadership group approves. Let's go from there.
Agreed.
Full leverage. All right, that's good. As far as you've got consistency in the squad, that's a real key thing for success in Super Rugby, isn't it? Because you can pick up off those lessons learned early, like you said last year, and create some consistency rather than having to learn that lesson again.
Yeah, I think the squad is quite consistent, which is pleasing. But also what we've done, we've got some really good talent in. You know, we got Miles, who spent some time over at Clermont, did 3 years there. He's an Australian guy. He's about 2 metres tall, massive guy, physical. I don't want to talk down on second rows, but he's actually quite coordinated too, which is surprising. And he moves. Well, we'll see about that anyway. But he moves really well. So, and he's a young guy and he's physical, and you know, I'm excited for him for the year. But what we notice around Super Rugby, especially in some of the other games, you get that 60-minute mark and the good teams roll on a bench and they even go another level. So we've got to be able to match up.
There's always a battle in Australia between NRL and rugby union. Max Jorgensen, can you just probably tell us a little bit about what makes him such a special talent? Obviously, rookie year, he was great. Scored a try, I think, with his first touch. Made the World Cup squad. He's got so much growth, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like... so rare for a guy to be at such a young age and look so deadly. Like, I think the first game he scored 2 tries on his debut, and, you know, he flew out of the blocks, and then we play the Hurricanes a week later, he scores a freak try in the corner. He's just, it's really hard to explain, because he's not a massive guy, but he's really strong in contact, strong hips, reads the game really well. He's just a natural football player. He reminds me of Curley when he first started playing. So he's been great. A really unfortunate sort of back end of the year for him. He got a great opportunity to go to the World Cup and copped another injury, but a year on, more experience, and, you know, I can imagine he'll be getting better with age.
Where do you see him, you know, sort of fitting in? Fullback, wing, or...?
Yeah, fullback possibly, anywhere. Yeah, you know, we got a really strong back three, Dylan Peach and Mark, the one into Waze, a deadly, and then you put him in the mix, it's, you know, pretty frightening back three, but he's the sort of guy you can almost put anywhere. He'll do a good job for you. Maybe, hopefully, not halfback. That can't do it.
One quick question. There was one player in Super Rugby that you'd back yourself running it straight at. Who would it be?
Nick White.
Running it straight?
Yeah, you're running
it
straight.
Can be a teammate of mine?
It can be anyone you like.
Lockie Swinton.
Yeah.
Maybe you are.
Jeez. Tate said Darcy's sway.
Did he?
It's through the two of you.
Halfback. Full of courage.
His fours, but that fella to your left, what I'm looking at, he was pretty good to run it straight. More so just for the fact of what would happen after you ran it straight. If you got any form of momentum, it would just be red and say, I'm going to get you for the next 30 minutes of training. He's just trying to find you, take your head off.
So, he's not wrong. I would chase people around the field. He was a bit redhead. No, I thought you were going to say Artie, mate.
Oh, mate, he doesn't need to. He's in my head even in Japan. He's followed me to Japan and he's in my head over here. So I get to see him twice a year. So We can still cut off the scrum, so I'm on that side. I just take cut the ball off, so you can get our flankers to deal with that.
Brilliant.
Bryn's referring to the fact that there's a few rule changes, I suppose, that have happened through Super Rugby, and one of them is that halfbacks aren't allowed to go past the tunnel, allowing a clean ball out the back of the scrum and hopefully good attacking balls. So that's a pretty good thing for an attacking team.
Oh, it's outstanding. I just think everyone in rugby, I feel like, is making a concerted effort to try and make the product as fast and as attractive as possible, which at the end of the day, you want fans engaged, and that's how they're going to be engaged.
OK, well, while we're talking about that, let's just carry on then. Ben O'Keefe came into Sky and he had a chat with us about what it looked like as far as the changes within Super Rugby and any ways that they're looking to adapt with the game. One of them was to make sure that the TMO had less time in play than they did at the World Cup. So you're going to see less of TMO in Super Rugby, which can only be a good thing, because I think we're all a little bit over that by the end of the World Cup.
Yeah, as I said, I think Super Rugby Pacific has put a hell of a lot of focus of bringing people back to the game, either through, you know, Sky television or Stan Sport, or going along to games. And I think a lot of it is around making it faster, more ball and play time, challenging defences a little bit more, so it's not so rush defence orientated and sort of caught in between the 22s, you know. So there's plenty of innovation, and again, they made another one that will hopefully lead to more counter-attack as well. But the big one I want them to keep policing, because I thought Ben O'Keefe did it really well in the Chiefs-Crusaders game last year, but it's sort of, you know, like any new rule towards the end of the comp, is that speeding up that line-out and scrum to get it going. In that 30-second time period.
Yeah, and if there's collapses, you're going to see that the ball, if it's at the 8's feet, will just be let out. They won't be resetting the scrum, so that's an absolute ripper as well. As far as halfbacks are concerned, Bryn, at the breakdown, they're going to enforce that 5-second clearance off the back. So we're going to see fewer of those caterpillar rucks setting up for the big up and under or box kick or whatever it might be. You feel like that's a good progression for the game?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, it's been talked around loosely around, you know, being 5 seconds when they say use it. But to be honest, and especially in international games, it's not really policed that hard, in and around that time frame. So, you know, some good nines or some good, you know, defensive coaches will be on that, you know, getting players to shout out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And as a nine, especially if you can't get that ball back quick enough, it really will have an effect on your kicking. So, yeah, I think that's a great initiative, and I really hope it's policed early on in the competition. You know, there's trends early in the competition that refs tend to really jump on, and I really hope that they can do that, because I think that's a great way to be able to speed up the game, because the kicking element is going to be in the game with how defences are. Like Jip talked around, the kicking game is a massive element, and I think the DuPont law is a really good one. I think, you know, for our viewers, probably education around it is obviously with the previous DuPont law, especially the French team. If you do kick it long, you could just be able to stand still. You didn't have to let the guy, the winger or the chaser or the kicker put you onside, and you could just stand there, and you know, the opposing player would have to run 5 metres or do one pass for then you to be able to go forward. So I think to be able to have the game a little bit more fatigue-based, especially for the forward strip, you know, as a hooker or as a tight five, if it's a kick battle of 7 to 8 kicks and you've got to constantly keep moving back forward, retreat firstly, and then have to be able to keep moving back and forward, I think it's going to add more ball and play, and obviously open up the game for opportunities, especially around counter attack or an attacking brand of rugby, to be able to try and test tiring defenders and defences.
And when it comes to safety, the impact mouth guards, that's something that's going to be in Super Rugby this year. We've seen it in other competitions around the world, but that evolution of rugby where players have to wear the mouth guard through the week, set a base level, and then go and not surpass that base level on the weekend if they get an impact. Surely that's got to be good for the game, Jip.
Yeah, I definitely think, look, the technology's in its infancy, so there'll be things that you're going to have to, we'll have to sort of learn on the go. But I do think, you know, the innovation and where this data could potentially, you know, find some solutions to player safety is really exciting. Currently, obviously from January 1, World Rugby sort of mandated that players have to wear it if they want to access HIA. So you don't have to wear it. If you choose not to wear it and they don't have the evidence, then the match day doctor has the ability, if he thinks you've been concussed, or he or she, sorry, thinks you've been concussed, they can. It's recognise and remove. So the match day doctor is recognise and remove, and they don't get to have an HIA without the instrumental mouth guard, so they're gone for the game.
And are all players happy with that?
No. I don't think anyone likes to be told what to do. but you've also got to understand, I suppose, the hard thing is during the week, like for trainings and stuff, that you wouldn't normally wear a mouth guard because you've got to get a certain load. There's a lot to go before, I suppose, it's a smooth process.
What do you mean? Do people not wear mouth guards at training?
There's very limited contact sometimes at training. So you'd only wear your mouth guard for contact. And some people are happy not to wear mouth guard if contact's at sort of 75-80%. So even like mauls and stuff. So I just think you've got to get a certain amount of load to be able to access HIA on game day. Mm. And I think it's 50, no less than 50% of the highest user. So if say it's 90 minutes, the highest user at 90 minutes, they can't. And if I only have it in my mouth for 44 minutes, I don't get the benefit. I'll go to recognise and remove, even though I've got the mouth guard.
Right.
So you've got to get the... Because they want to see the whole week.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, because there is a lot of, thought, and I probably believe this, there's a lot of head knocks that happen during training more than games. So it's that desire to get a good, clear picture of the whole week and then making sure that they can, I suppose, somehow make use of that data to change the weeks.
So who enforces that? A club doctor?
It'll
management?
It'll be medical personnel.
Team.
Yeah.
They'll be making sure that the mouth guard is on, you know, at all times, kind of similar to the way you used to get your studs checked.
Yeah, like it's like a GPS. It'll be on a computer if it's in or not.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, and there might be some weeks where there isn't contact, so you're not going to go... Yeah, there's just a few things to work out.
Right.
But if everyone has an open mind, we'll find the solution. But if we are firm in our thoughts, it makes it a little bit harder.
Right, so tipping at superrugby.co.nz, tipping.superrugby.co.nz, Aotearoa Rugby Pod League. Let's have a look at this weekend's games. Chiefs, Crusaders.
Chiefs,
Prim?
Home advantage. That's why.
You've made the bold call already. You just have to follow
it. I have made the bold call. Crusaders, but Crusaders will win, though.
The Chiefs, but
honestly,
preseason form wasn't the Chiefs, that strong.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But I think just to think, considering you know where the squad's at, the All Black boys haven't actually played a lot of minutes. There's obviously going to be the rivalry in and around what Luke Jacobson's saying around. It's personal for them, so it'll be a big week for them. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough ask for the Crusaders to go up there round one. But I'll back the Chiefs. I'll back the Crusaders.
The key though, when you start thinking about it being personal, is you don't want the emotion to, you know, detract you from what you've got to go out there and do. And that's why the Crusaders, they don't have that, I suppose, that emotion. They are just so matter of fact. This is how we play. I've said it time and time again. You know how they're going to play.
Beat us.
But stopping it is the challenge.
Right, yeah. Okay, Rebels, Brumbies.
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 Brumbies. Force v Canes. Canes away. Bryn?
Well, I saw like a couple of the boys on Instagram. It's like 42 degrees there. So like, obviously it might be a bit cooler. I'll go the Hurricanes, but yeah, wouldn't be surprised if that's a, you know, first game of the year, they lose that game. Tough in Perth, first game, especially being that hot, but I'll go the Canes.
Yeah, I'm going Canes.
Right. Blues v Drua. Blues at home.
Yeah.
So
there was
I won't even ask a question. Blues v Drua.
Blues, but man, it'll be a great night. It's up in Northland, correct? Whangarei,
it is.
Jipper?
It is. The Naughty North.
Yep.
That's what
Tom Robinson always called it, the Naughty North.
Well, there's definitely a story there.
Probably with him, yes.
Highlanders versus MP.
Highlanders.
Yep, Highlanders.
I've been impressed with MP pre-season, though.
Yeah.
I think they've, obviously, I want them to do well. I'm a big fan of Tom Coventry's and Tana's, but I definitely think you've seen an impact of them.
Yeah, and we spoke with James Lay, the new captain, and we'll play his interview in the weeks to come as well.
He was
an impressive character, very impressive character.
Yeah, and he just articulated this season plan and what they've been about very well.
Yeah, good insight there. Reds v Tars.
Reds.
Bryn?
I'll go Tas.
Even though Morgan Taranui doesn't feel that they've got a tight head and Angus Bell's and the Waratahs, I might change that closer to kickoff, actually.
Yeah.
Mind you, I got the Tas finishing last. I can't. I've got to go to the Reds.
You can't.
I want you to die on that.
I wanted to create a little bit of spice, a little bit of a talking point. You know, if we'd just gone through the status quo, you know.
Yeah.
But it could be a disaster.
Right, yeah.
Hey, you've made a couple of massive calls, Jim. You've got Islanders finishing fourth.
Season five, mate. I really want to bring it in, bring a bit of spice.
Yes. And he started strongly. Okay.
You have to back them.
Plenty of rugby to watch this weekend, and there's also Opiki next weekend starting as well. So it's going to be a pretty full-on few weeks with the rugby tournament's going on. Plenty to watch. Your wife's given up for the next 40 weeks.
Yeah. She gave up about 6 years ago. Probably 17 years ago, actually.
Fair enough. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us for the first episode of the year of the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Of course, we love your input, so please could you send us an email, aotearoarugbypod@sky.co.nz. We'll take your questions, we'll try to answer them as we can and get into as many of them we can each week. So get in there, get into the tipping comp as well. We really appreciate you catching us on Sky, across all of Sky's platforms, on Rugby Pass as well. We'll get to you wherever you can find us, whether it's audio or video. We'll do what we can to answer your questions and get you involved within the show. So thank you very much for joining us again, Jipper.
Thanks, Ross.
Appreciate your time.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have the tan and the legs and the tan in the studio.
I'll wear some pants and shoes next week.
I don't know. Well, it's still summer. Okay, You've still got you know, a few weeks to go.
Yeah, beauty.
And Brent, appreciate your time.
Good to be back, boys. Good to see you.
Okay. We'll catch you all next week on the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Enjoy your first weekend of Super Rugby and Six Nations.